Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
I like the guy.
And now I'm a little more comfortable talking to you because I can tell you really know football. You know?
Boo! What's my name? Boo! Boo! Boo!
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO.
Touchdown, Buffalo! We're going back and forth all day long!
This crowd is absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
This is the John Murphy Show.
Good evening. Welcome to the podcast, the John Murphy Show. Podcast presented by NOCO, coming to you from One Bills Drive tonight. Happy to have you in the audience tonight. We're down to just a couple of hockey games left, really. Eight games left, including tonight. The Sabres playing at Montreal tonight. And after this, two more weeks of hockey. So pretty soon it'll be live radio every night. And we're back on the air with live radio tomorrow night. But tonight, the podcast. I'm glad you checked us out here at BuffaloBills.com. Podcast available every night, every day at BuffaloBills.com/John Murphy Show. You can listen to previous shows, listen to previous interviews, including Ron Wolfley last night, the Arizona Cardinals color analyst last night, had some interesting takes on the Bills' new quarterback, Kevin Cobb. Got some feedback on that today. But it's always there for you, BuffaloBills.com/John Murphy Show. If you have something to that you missed and you want to catch up on, make sure you check that out. You can also download the mobile Bills app at BuffaloBills.com and subscribe to us on iTunes. Coming up tonight here in the podcast, in the second portion, Mel Kiper Jr. conducted another one of his extensive, and I mean extensive, conference call with media members, including our very own Chris Brown. We'll hear what Mel Kiper Jr. has to say about quarterback prospects in the draft and other things as well. That's coming up in the second half of our podcast. Also, we're going to get you updated on the Bills news today with a couple of more visits today and let you know what's going on around the National Football League. Tonight, right here on the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, the podcast. Here in One Bills Drive, the visits winding down, but four more visits today of pre-draft eligible players. Four more players in today with more expected tomorrow. Tomorrow, the final day, the Bills can do draft visits as the draft approaches. Round one of the NFL draft, by the way, 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today, round one of the NFL draft. And today, getting ready for the draft, the Bills hosted four more visitors, two of them Tennessee Volunteers, wide receiver Cordarrelle Patterson and quarterback Tyler Bray. They also brought in tight end Vance McDonald of Rice and safety Philip Thomas of Fresno State. Tyler Bray is interesting, a quarterback. The Bills really taking a look at the quarterbacks in this draft. Tyler Bray, the Bills had a look at him at the Tennessee Pro Day a couple of weeks ago, March 20th, and then had a private workout with Bray. Tyler Bray comes out early, 6'6", 232 pounds, big, tough pocket quarterback. He can stretch a defense with his arm, but he has some issues as well. Not real good foot speed. He's been questioned by NFL people for his maturity. He's had at least one brush with the law. He says he's grown up since that, though. But Tyler Bray came out early, surprising some people that he came out when he did. Many scouts thought he would benefit from another year in college, but he's coming out. He's in the quarterback mix this year. Obviously a raw prospect. I wouldn't think he would be selected in the first, probably maybe not even the second round, but he was here today talking to Buffalo Bills scouts and coaches. Also in today from the University of Tennessee, Cordarrelle Patterson. Now, this could be the guy. This could be the Bills' first-round draft pick at number 8 overall. Cordarrelle Patterson, the wide receiver, a junior college transfer. He played at Hutchinson Community College and had just the one season at the University of Tennessee. But what a season it was for him last year. He set the school record for all-purpose yardage, better than 1,800 yards for Tennessee last year. He finished last year with 46 catches, five of them for touchdowns, 778 yards receiving. He averaged better than 27 yards combined on kickoff and punt returns. Cordarrelle Patterson leaves after just 1 year at Tennessee. They had a coaching change at Tennessee, and most people believe that's what sent Cordarrelle Patterson into the draft, as well as Tyler Bray. And Cordarrelle Patterson among the visitors here at One Bills Drive. And again, a raw prospect, but a talented prospect. Most people consider him the best wide receiver in the draft. Ran a 4.33 time in the 40-yard dash at the combine. Good size, 6'2", 216 pounds. Probably will be the first receiver selected in the draft, and maybe to number 8 to the Buffalo Bills. Also in for a visit with the Bills today, tight end Vance McDonald of Rice, All-Conference USA this past year, 6'4", 267-pounder. Pretty reliable pass receiver for the Rice Owls. Finished with 120 receptions for his career, 15 touchdowns. Had a good week at the Senior Bowl and ran a 4.640 time at the Combine. Vance McDonald, tight end from Rice, in for a visit with the Buffalo Bills today. And the fourth player in visiting with the Bills today, Fresno State safety Philip Thomas, a finalist for the Jim Thorpe Award for the top defensive back in college football. He had 20 turnovers in his college career with Fresno State, 13 of them interceptions, 8 of those interceptions last year when he led the nation in picks. Pretty good time, a 4.5740 time at the Combine, a safety. Did not play much in his junior year with a broken leg and dislocated ankle, but Philip Thomas, the Fresno State safety, in the building today here at One Bills Drive for a visit with the Buffalo Bills. And they have a few more visits left, those expected to take place tomorrow, and then the visits end as we approach the draft 2 weeks away. 2 weeks from today, by the way, round one. You can tell it's getting close to draft time when the scouts are back, and the Bills scouting staff is back in the building. They've done their college scouting, obviously, during the fall. They did their cross-checks. They did their pro days and watched all the workouts and the evaluations, and now Buffalo's college scouts are in town. Got here yesterday and will be here for the next couple of weeks. The scouts will be meeting in pre-draft meetings in which they make the final adjustments to the draft board. Pretty much considered the draft board is done by now with 2 weeks to go, but still some moves to make, and that's where the scouts will help out over the next 2 weeks. So that's going on behind closed doors, needless to say, here at One Bills Drive. The Bills with the voluntary off-season conditioning program, they wrap things up this week with the players today, and then next week it's a voluntary veteran mini camp for Bills players starting Tuesday and running through Thursday, a 3-day mini camp. We finally get to see what a little football looks like under this new offense, a new defensive system for the Buffalo Bills. That's coming up next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, a voluntary mini camp. They've been on the field doing conditioning drills, but they have not been out there doing football drills. They're going to do that after 2 weeks of classroom work and some installation. We'll see what that looks like next week. The Bills players getting accustomed to their new coaching staff, including those on the offensive side of the ball. That includes wide receiver Stevie Johnson, back for another year. He's got a new offensive coordinator, a new quarterbacks coach, a new quarterback this year. Stevie was asked if he's talked much with new offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett and if he has any thoughts on what this Buffalo offense might look like this year.
I haven't talked to him. I got to go have a one-on-one meeting with him after this, but just like I said, when Coach Marone was talking and everybody introduced themselves and we had our offensive meeting, the energy, I like the energy. He could have been saying blah 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 blah, but it was up tempo though. You know what I'm saying? And it felt good. It felt good to me. I'm pretty sure the vibes was throughout the room also. We're going to be up tempo. We have attitude. Like I said about Coach Marone, it was refreshing just to see that.
Stevie Johnson led the Bills last year in receiving again with 79 catches, 6 touchdowns, over 1,000 yards receiving for the third consecutive year. But the Bills' receiving core is going to look different this year with the departures of Donald Jones and David Nelson. The Bills let them both go. Stevie was asked what gives him confidence that the receiving core will be okay without those two players in the roster this year.
This staff have a plan. There were guys out there. Everybody's seeing me. We got this guy, that guy that's out there, free agency. We didn't jump on anybody. That just shows that we have a plan. They know the guys that they want. They're not just going to get anybody. I believe in what they're doing. We either go wait until the draft or we go take our time to pick who we really want. And that's why I believe that it'll work. And then on the other hand, I believe it's gonna work because I'm here. You know what I'm saying? I feel like my attitude is going to be on a whole nother level. You got to be better every year. I feel like I can take the team to another level also, along with other guys.
Stevie Johnson ready to assume a leadership role with this Buffalo Bills offense with a brand new coaching staff. New coaching staff, big turnover, new quarterback, big turnover on the roster. Our perception out there that the team is in rebuilding mode, but Stevie Johnson says that is not what he believes.
It's easy to say that because, if you don't go to the playoffs, you pretty much rebuilding. And that's pretty much how I see it too. It's black and white. If you don't make it to the playoffs, you somehow got to build your team up to get there the next season. So we'll see what happens when the end of the season comes, if we're in the playoffs or not.
Stevie Johnson talking during the Bills voluntary conditioning programs, which this week or today wrapped up the first 2 weeks of that voluntary off-season conditioning program. So we said the players get out on the field and do conditioning work. They also spend about an hour and a half each day in the classroom with their coaching staff. The installation has begun of new offensive and defensive systems and new roles for some of these players, including Denoris Searcy going into his third season now with the Buffalo Bills. With George Wilson gone, Denoris Searcy will step in. Searcy played a lot last year and really wound up mostly splitting time with George Wilson at the safety spot for the Buffalo Bills. But Wilson is gone, cut loose by the Bills, and Denoris Searcy, third-year player, was asked if this is his chance to step up into the starting lineup.
Yeah, I feel it's an extremely great opportunity. I'm going to take it full stride. My confidence is pretty much through the roof right now. I always come in with the attitude of working and getting better, and like you said, it's an opportunity that I plan on seizing.
Denoris Searcy should feel pretty confident, should feel pretty much that he knows what he's doing after the amount of playing time. I mean, he really pushed George Wilson for playing time over the last year or so and got into the lineup on a regular basis, was able to make a couple of plays on a regular basis. He was asked what that playing time did for him last year in terms of his confidence going into this year.
It helped develop me more as a player, helped my confidence grow with my communications. As far as being able to talk to everybody out on the field and whatnot. So going into my third year, my confidence is very well rounded. And I'm just ready to get started.
Denoris Searcy getting ready to get started, getting ready to assume a leadership role and could wind up in that starting secondary with Jarris Byrd back there at safety. So it'll be interesting to see if how much Denoris Searcy seizes the opportunity. Last year, Searcy played in 15 games. The year before, 16 games with three starts. Still has not come up. Well, he has one interception in his rookie year, but no interceptions last year for Denoris Searcy. There's also the question of leadership in that defensive backfield. And Denoris Searcy was asked if George Wilson, Terrence McGee being gone, if that means that he will have to assume a leadership mantle back there.
See, especially going into my third year, you're not the rookie no more. You're not the second year guy, so you have bigger shoes to fill. Like I said, with George leaving, I just took it upon myself to be more of a leader, to help out back there. With getting Byrd back, I see it as a great thing. You still have two guys that's familiar with working with each other. So, I mean, that's good. And I believe with me and him working together, it could give the corners on the outside more confidence because they know they got two guys that's been back there before.
Denoris Searcy, fourth-round pick from 3 years ago and now going into his third year in the NFL, comes out of North Carolina, expected to play a lot in the Bills' defensive backfield this year. Around the league, some news today. Rob Gronkowski is going to delay the surgery that he needs on his forearm. The Boston Herald reporting Gronkowski is going to wait a few more weeks to make sure that the infection in his arm has been cleared up. He's going to continue taking antibiotics, but the plan is to have surgery to check on the infection and install a new plate in his forearm. His agent, Drew Rosenhaus, disputed previous reports that Gronkowski had no surgery scheduled. There is a surgery. There is no date yet. Rob Gronkowski's got some issues with that plate in his forearm. And how about this? Vince Young, a private workout with the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders have had preliminary discussions about bringing him in on the heels of a good showing at the pro day Vince Young had at University of Texas late last month. The Raiders reportedly are ready to talk to Vince Young. He'll have to prove that he's made strides in his accuracy and picking up NFL terminology. The Bills, of course, had Vince Young in their training camp last year and didn't like what they saw, cut him right before the season began. But Vince Young, who knows, could wind up with the Oakland Raiders as one of the backup quarterbacks there. Hey, want to remind you, next Monday is a red letter day for this show, the John Murphy Show. We're going to make our debut in Rochester next Monday night as we do the show on both WGR Radio in Buffalo and starting next Monday on Sports Radio 950 AM, ESPN Radio in Rochester. So look for that. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, making our Rochester debut next Monday night, 7 o'clock on Sports Radio 950 AM, ESPN Radio in Rochester. Well, coming up, we're going to talk about Mel Kiper, about the draft. Mel Kiper did a conference call yesterday with various reporters around the league, some thoughts on some of the prospects. That's what's coming up in the remaining portion of the podcast. You're listening to the John Murphy Show podcast presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive, the home of the Bills. More to come. year, our friends at NOCO are celebrating their 80th anniversary. Since 1933, NOCO has been serving the Western New York community with a wide array of energy products that help keep businesses functioning at their peak, including natural gas, electricity, commercial fuels, industrial lubricants, and more. With 80 years of experience in wholesale and retail energy products, NOCO is dedicated to delivering commercial energy to your business. NOCO develops and implements customized programs that can improve efficiency, save money, and fuel your company's growth. Visit them online at NOCO.com or call 833-NOCO and learn more about what NOCO can do for you. Well, here comes the NFL draft, 2 weeks away, 2 weeks from tonight on Thursday, April 25th. Round one of the NFL draft that Thursday night. Of course, the first round selections announced at Radio City Music Hall in New York City. We'll be right here in our perch at One Bills Drive to cover the action from the Bills' point of view. And we'll be all over WGR radio that night as well. And all the entire WGR team will be mobilized. Joe Biscaglia and the rest of them mobilized to bring you draft coverage 2 weeks from tonight, Thursday, August 25th. We look forward to that. Getting ready for it, too, at ESPN, and that means Mel Kiper Jr., the draft guru for all these many years. He conducted a conference call yesterday with NFL reporters from around the National Football League and touched on a variety of topics, including quarterbacks. E.J. Manuel, a quarterback who many people think could possibly sneak into the first round of the draft in a couple of weeks. The Bills like what they see. Other teams like what they see. Big, strong passer from Florida State, E.J. Manuel. There are some differing opinions on him. Kiper, Mel Kiper Jr., does not have him in his top five. And Kiper was asked on the conference call, what are his biggest objections to E.J. Manuel?
You know, I love the kid. Great character. Just tremendously likable. Comes into a room and you have to root for this kid. And like I said, the likability, the it factor's there with him from that standpoint. Big at 6'5", 237, fast. I mean, he can run the read option and run it pretty effectively. Tough to bring down when he does run the football. He can pick up some yards with his legs and beat you with his legs and pick up first downs and keep drives alive. I just saw a kid who didn't go through progression to the third or fourth option. He'd go 1-2 and underneath. So he didn't have to read the whole field, read half the field. That's a concern. At times he made some inaccurate throws, some questionable decisions. That's a concern. I didn't see him really take his game to an elite level despite having elite physical and athletic skills. On the numbers alone, he's first round. I thought he was he'll test like a first rounder. I thought his performance was more of a second or third rounder. Do the math on that, you're probably thinking late one or early two.
I think that's fair. I think that's where most people think E.J. Manuel will wind up. I don't know if he's the right fit for the Buffalo Bills, especially because of the accuracy issues. We got a good look at E.J. Manuel at the Senior Bowl in late January, and I have to say I was not impressed with the practices at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. The game, he played well. I believe he ran for one and threw for one touchdown, and I think he was offensive MVP of the game. But I think Mel Kiper nailed it when he talked about not getting through his reads. He doesn't appear to do that very well. He can run the read option. Kiper mentioned that. I don't know how much of a concern that would be. I think it's a second half of the season fad last year. I don't think anybody is going to want to build their offense around a quarterback who can run the read option. So the fact that E.J. Manuel can do that, I don't think is any reason at all to look at a quarterback as, your potential franchise quarterback. Will he be drafted early? Yeah, probably first or second round. But I'm not sure E.J. Manuel is an elite-level quarterback. It doesn't sound like Mel Kiper Jr. is either. What about Geno Smith, now widely regarded as the first quarterback to come off the board in 2 weeks? There's a possibility, it's been mentioned that the Cleveland Browns might be interested in Geno Smith. Mel Kiper had him going earlier than the sixth pick, though, which is Cleveland's. He was asked in this conference call, Mel Kiper Jr., about the chances that Geno Smith would be available at number six in the draft, and he was asked to break down what he likes and what he doesn't like about Geno Smith, the West Virginia quarterback.
Well, you don't know. I mean, Philadelphia's the pivotal team there. I mean, they could take Geno Smith, they could pass on Smith, and then look at a quarterback like E.J. Manuel in the early second round, which would put him there for Cleveland at six. What I like about him, I like the fact that he can spin the ball. I mean, he's got the live arm. He can make any throw you want. He's mobile, very good mobility. He can beat you with his legs. He can run, pick up significant yardage. He's a kid who seems like he's going to work hard at his craft. Concerns would be, the pocket collapsed a lot for him. The offensive line didn't do its job, and when he was harassed, the accuracy diminished. and he made some bad decisions. And he had some fumbles in the pocket. Ball security was an issue. So he's got to take better care of the football. He can't have fumbles in the pocket. He's got to be a little more precise with the football. But I thought he hit his guys in stride pretty well at West Virginia. He gave him a chance to do a lot after the catch, which impressed me. Some of the other quarterbacks did not. He reads the whole field, which I like. He's not just reading half the field. He reads the whole field. He's the kind of guy that, if handled properly, can be a very, very good NFL starting quarterback, I believe.
Mel Kiper Jr. on Geno Smith, the West Virginia quarterback. So there's some praise there for Geno Smith, but, you know, it's not like anybody's effusive in their praise of Geno Smith. I get the sense as the draft approaches that a lot of these draft evaluators, Mel Kiper and others, have sort of come to the realization that, yep, Geno Smith is the best of the quarterback bunch, but he's not, you know, that great. Will he be the first quarterback off the board? Yeah, pretty much everybody sees that now. But I don't get the sense that anybody believes 100% in Geno Smith as far as being a successful quarterback in the NFL. Could be pretty good, but maybe not great. Mel Kiper Jr. in the conference call yesterday talked more about Geno Smith and his evaluation of Geno Smith and USC's Matt Barkley also.
Yeah, I think Geno has a chance to be very good. I think he has the right kind of work ethic. And that's going to be obviously critical because you're coming out of a system at West Virginia, transitioning to the NFL. People say, well, he's going to have to make an adjustment. Well, bottom line is he saw the whole field. He read the whole field. So he's not limited in that area. He was pressured a lot. That offensive line let him down time and time again at West Virginia. He had some fumbles. He's got to take better care of the football, better in the pocket. So he has to work on some things. There's some concern. But he's got the arm. He looked taller than 6'2", 3 because he has the long arms. He's mobile. He made a lot of plays with his feet. He can beat you running with the football. I think if it all comes together for Geno Smith, he can be a very good quarterback in this league. For Matt, you know, Matt's a hardworking kid. He can throw the football and go a bit better than people think. And I hope his arm gets stronger as he moves into the NFL like some have. He's a limited because he's a pocket guy. He's not going to beat you with his legs. But as a second-round pick, I think he makes a lot of sense.
Mel Kiper Jr. on the quarterbacks, Geno Smith first and then Matt Barkley again. There is, acknowledgement of Geno Smith's talent, but also, maybe it's just me, but I do detect some hesitancy to overpraise Geno Smith. I mean, listen to what Mel Kiper said. He said, if it all comes together for Geno Smith, he can be a very good quarterback in this league. He didn't say he's going to be a very good quarterback. He didn't say he's going to light it up. He's going to be a Pro Bowl. He said, if it all comes together. So there are reservations among the draft experts about Geno Smith. I know there are reservations here at One Bills Drive about Geno Smith as far as being the franchise quarterback. It's going to be very, very interesting in the weeks ahead, the draft 2 weeks away. And you've got a chance to participate for the seventh consecutive year. The Bills and M&T Bank are conducting the M&T Bank Draft Day Challenge. It's a contest online, and fans can predict the Bills' first selection of the NFL draft. The fans who correctly guess the Bills' first pick in this draft this year will be entered to win a prize package. Five of those winners selected at random will receive an exclusive meet and greet with the top draft pick, a private tour of the Bills facilities here at One Bills Drive, and an autographed NFL draft helmet. Last year, fans had a chance to get Stephon Gilmore's thoughts and C.J. Spiller a couple of years ago. If you're interested, you got to move quickly now. We're 2 weeks away. The deadline is April 25th, day one of the draft, 5 p.m. You got to make your prediction by then. It's online, the Buffalo Bills M&T Bank Draft Day Challenge. Just go to buffalobills.com/draftdaychallenge. Or check them out at facebook.com/mybillscard. All kinds of content there about the draft, including the Buffalo Bills Draft Day Challenge. Seventh annual Buffalo Bills Draft Day Challenge presented by M&T Bank. Well, we've got a radio show coming up tomorrow night, and among our guests tomorrow night, Mark Anderson, trying to make a comeback to the Buffalo Bills after that knee injury that limited him to, what, just five games last season? Mark Anderson is here this week and last week at the voluntary off-season conditioning programs. He'll join us tomorrow night in studio to talk about how that's going and what he hopes to accomplish in the weeks and months ahead, his effort to get back on the football field. We also hope to have E.J. Manuel on the show with us tomorrow night, reaching out to him, and we're told that we have a good chance to get E.J. Manuel. We talked about him earlier, the Florida State quarterback. He'll be with us tomorrow night as well as we continue to move forward. That'll do it for the podcast. Back on the radio tomorrow night. I want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO. Family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our producer, the maestro, Russ Burton, the Bills director of broadcasting, Jeff Matthews. Back on the air tomorrow night at 7 o'clock with the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.